your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that first segment with Dana Lyons. In this second segment, as promised, we are going to be sticking to some more shorter-term trading strategies and some more broad market commentary as we are chatting with T.G. Watkins, Director of Stocks over at Simpler Trading, also editor of the Profit Pilot website. One thing I should note is that we will be posting a link to a recent webinar that TG recorded that really takes into context more of the big picture moves for markets over the last almost year now. One other thing to note is that we are recording this on Thursday, so it is before the volatility, undoubtedly, that'll happen around that non-farms payroll number on Friday. But TG, taking a step back from some of this short-term volatility just in this year, you look at something like the S&P, and broadly, since May, let's say, it has gone sideways, right around that 4,000 level, a few hundred higher, a few hundred lower than that. And as we're recording this, we're pretty much right at that 4,000 level. This is in the face of what seems like a lot of negative news. Still a slow economy, rates still being raised by the central banks, especially the Fed, earnings that have been decreasing, but the markets have gone sideways. What do you take away from that action there, TG?
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly right that in the face of all the bad news and the historical precedent of raising interest rates as much and as fast as they've done, a lot of people were expecting the SPY to be closer to 3,000 or the SPX, and we're here at basically 4,000. You know, in that webinar, that market update webinar that I did, I really dive in and show you guys a lot of just stuff that I look at, a lot of things that I've been collecting for the last few weeks and couple months. You know, the major indices have pulled back to pretty good FIB levels, like 50% and 618 retracements. And so, and they're also mostly at their monthly 50 SMAs, and then they've all bounced from there. So this seems to imply that in the face of all the, difficult stuff out there, the market's actually holding up pretty well. However, it's not doing anything. That's the other really challenging part. And, you know, we're trying to figure out, well, what's going to happen with this non-farm payroll? Is the economy going down, which would be, bad news is good news, because then that would mean that what the Fed's trying to do as far as interest rates and cool the economy is working. And then the market would view that as, okay, we're one step closer to the Fed kind of, stopping its interest rate hike and just pausing. However, then you run into like, okay, well, then are we running headlong into a recession? And is the recession then going to take the market down? So we're kind of stuck between this rock and a hard place. And I think that is exactly why the market is going sideways, because like, is this good news or is this bad news? You know, is good news, or is bad news good news? And everyone's really trying to figure that out. And then kind of the other frustrating thing about this, and, again, two things that I see. One, a lot of names, I think, have already been repriced. You look at a lot of names, they've already just gotten completely shot and driven down very hard, and they are either at or below or around their pre-COVID levels, or they just look like they've been taken down very strongly, and then they're just going sideways. Or they've managed to come up off the floor just enough that they're now over some of their more major moving averages, so it looks like the bottom's in. But I've been very clear to communicate to anybody who's been listening out there and my subscribers that just because the bottom's in doesn't mean we're in a new bull market. Doesn't mean that we have to go up. It could just mean that maybe the worst is behind us, and maybe these things have to go sideways, and maybe they have to consolidate for, X number of time, X period of time. And then the other thing is, if you do some searches for stocks in an uptrend, basically over certain moving averages, there are actually quite a few stocks in what look to be fairly good uptrends. And we've actually gotten a lot of earnings that have popped stocks basically straight up. So it's a very challenging time to be trying to catch where these things are going. And they kind of come in these weird waves, as you can see with the market, it's been up and then it pulls back and up and it pulls back. And a lot of names have been sensitive to that. So you're kind of got to get your timing right, because there will be a lot of strength and then it'll just kind of crumble away. Or the stocks will go sideways for a while, and then you have to wait for the next right opportunity to catch that next wave.
Well, TG, that's an interesting point about the choppy nature, not just because of all the balls in the air economically and all the data people are watching and trying to figure out 4D chess on what the Fed's going to do, but also just the market direction you see in a lot of individual equities or smaller sectors versus the larger patterns. We've had a couple people on the show, TG, that are still of the opinion that this still is a bear market and that we could see another leg lower. You mentioned, though, that you feel pretty solid that the bottom is in and that you've noted all these stocks that are actually in positive uptrends. Maybe unpack that a little bit more for people that think we're still at risk of turning down and blasting lower below the October lows of last year, or at least retesting them. Why are you confident, or what kind of things are you seeing that kind of give you more of a positive outlook on some of these stocks?
Well, it kind of goes back to the old adage, strong convictions loosely held. So what I'm saying is the market has done remarkably well so far in holding up. And what I think that this might pave the groundwork for is some sort of a double dip, or you know, maybe that if the market doesn't really want to like roll over and totally die or crash right now, then if it can kind of handle, pick itself up right now, then maybe we could see some bullishness sometime in the near future. We gain some altitude with price. And then, you know what, maybe then if the economy starts to really crash or recession's there, that does affect the market or something like that, then maybe we can get the market to roll over from there. So the exact path of how this is challenging, but we just got to keep looking at this and saying, you know, a lot of damage has actually been done underneath the surface, and above the surface, looking at the indexes, they're just holding up pretty darn well. And so I'm hesitant to really want to short anything, and I've been trying to play the long side, but you know, some of that stuff has been challenging too. So I look at this and just say, you know, we've got things that are doing quite well out there. We've got things that have already been totally shot and are down at ground floor, and they're not going to go much lower. And then we have the markets kind of in between, and we're trying to figure out where we're going. I mean, if I look at Google and Microsoft and Amazon, and you know, they look like they're pretty good, or at least they've looked like they're starting to try and find a floor. Apple, it's mostly gone sideways and actually popped a couple days ago. So it's like you got to kind of almost trade everything on its own and just trying to find those waves that are going to happen maybe when the market's going to do that thing too. You know, there are also a lot of stats that say that after a condition like this and after with the SPY daily 50 or the daily 200, the market should be higher by the end of the year. Now that leaves a lot of room for what kind of path it's going to take, because you know, theoretically we could be $1 higher, but we could have been down the entire year, you know, by the end of the year. So we don't know what the path looks like. It just says that we should be somehow, you know, not terrible throughout that. And this is the challenge, because what do you do during a sideways market? I mean, unless you're just going to be trading options above and below, for people like me who are directional traders, it's sideways. It is the most frustrating thing to be trading because it's not moving.
So TG, what are you trading? Because in all fairness, a sideways market, especially for active investors, does present some opportunities, such as some stocks that are breaking out, or quite frankly, just playing ranges that are getting more and more well-defined in some stocks. What are you trading right now?
Well, the one area that I've actually seen that I can consistently say is showing strength is the semiconductor segment. And I think part of that has to do with AI. AI is becoming a big topic and hot button, kind of like Bitcoin was. And I think in a very similar way, semiconductors are benefiting from Bitcoin and also benefiting from AI because, well, so AI and Bitcoin is kind of the technology. It's the, you know, the thing or the wave of the future or the thing that company is creating. It's the next hot something. And those companies or this thing, AI, may or may not succeed. Like we kind of saw cryptocurrencies, you know, really explode and then kind of, you know, come back down. But the companies that supply those industries, I think, are the ones that are actually going to be doing well. And we're seeing that. We're seeing a lot of semiconductor or chips and chip manufacturing, or it's kind of the hardware. The companies that make the hardware for these technologies seem to be doing well. And one way I've kind of been relating this to is imagine the California gold rush. You know, the people who went out there were trying to pan for gold and look for riches. You know, some of them, sure, maybe 10% found gold and became wealthy, but the other 90% didn't. But the people who consistently made money were the people who sold the axes, the picks, the shovels, the Levi's, the pants, you know, and all the things that those people needed to go out there to seek riches. And I feel like there's a pretty good similarity for what we're seeing here with that.
That's an interesting take. Yeah, sometimes it's the people supplying the industry that do better than the people in the industry themselves. So great point, TG.
Yep.
Well, another thing that came up on our website recently, TG, was a discussion about how you do trading at your Profit Pilot and Semper Trading platform with some of the terms you use, like your Moxie indicator, the trampoline moves, the elf shoes. You've got some interesting verbiage. The whole little discussion broke out with about four or five different people trying to find out a little bit more about how you approach trading. So maybe could you just share a little bit about how you came up with some of these terms and these, some of these proprietary ideas that you share with investors?
Yeah, funny. They actually just kind of created themselves. So when I first was learning how to trade and I followed a lot of different people and yeah, I had a couple mentors that I really followed closely, I took what they taught me and but it didn't all entirely resonate. You know, everybody has their different style and you kind of pull bits and pieces from everybody, but then you kind of have to like stir it in a pot and make it your own. And I really just sat down and I looked at charts and I looked at things and I just kept trying to say, what makes sense and what is the consistent thing that I can find that starts to resonate with my brain and my eyes? And then the Moxie indicator, as I was developing that, really kind of helped give me a backbone to what I was seeing as far as the price formations. And so something like the elf shoe, literally just one day I looked at it, I was like, holy cow, that kind of looks like the boot of Italy. And I was like, wow, that looks like a shoe, like a profile of a shoe. And then I started noticing consistency from it. And I was like, oh, okay. So the first move off the low, you know, basically the first bounce out of a downtrend, it almost always comes back and gets retested. You know, that's the idea of a double bottom. And that is what basically formed, the double bottom is what formed this profile that looked like a shoe. And then because after the double bottom, if it worked, you got this huge, like, you know, whip up. And I thought, a shoe that has a big, you know, curly Q on the end of it. Oh, looks like an elf shoe. Okay, well, that makes sense. And so I just started calling that because I think trying to explain these things through charts and whatever can be a little bit challenging. But if you kind of have a picture that people can understand and they're like, oh, I know what that is. And then they can look for that. I think that just helps assimilate a lot of things. And then the trampoline move, really, I was just trying to figure out, well, how do I describe this thing? Basically, price went up and then it pulled back and then it shot up. And they're like, well, what else is like that? Well, it's a trampoline. Like you jump on a trampoline and it shoots you back up the other direction. I was like, well, that's exactly what's happening here. And then I also kind of relate it to like you're trying to push a beach ball underneath water. And it's a combination of when the Moxie indicator is above zero, meaning positive, buoyant, you know, buoyant energy, but price actually dipped below the trend following moving average, you know, like the 50. And it's like, okay, we're trying to push this beach ball underneath water, but because the Moxie indicator is above zero, it's indicating buoyancy. Boom, it comes right back up. And it was like just a trampoline move. So I just kind of looked at these things and I said, well, how do I explain this? How do I relate it? And how do I come up with, I know they're kind of silly, but they're just kind of terms that seem to work for explaining what this is. And because of that, I was able to actually now write down my rules and I could write down what these things are. And I built a language, you know, and again, silly language, but I built a language that now we can all talk with and use commonly. And now I have all these subscribers that, oh, hey, look, there's an elf shoe here, or there's a trampoline move here, or an inverse trampoline move, or this. And now we can actually point to something and say, yes, that is actually what that looks like. And now we can communicate and share ideas. And that's really the whole point of language, is to be able to communicate ideas and learn from them. And I think that's kind of how my whole Moxie system has really come to be and how people can resonate with this, because I've taken this kind of abstract thing and I've given visual, definitive, definable references around it.
Very cool, TG. I really like your different terms, your language. They resonate more with people. As Shad said, bit of a discussion broke out on the website a little while ago, just asking for a little more clarity on it and where they came from. I guess if you want to find out more about some of TG's terms and trading strategies, be sure to check him out over at the Simpler Trading website, as well as over on his Profit Pilot website. TG, thank you, as always, for your time. It's a pleasure chatting with you. We'll chat in another few weeks. Have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, thanks, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.